Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back to Moneyline with Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside.
Hour number two is now underway. It's the Sports Grid Network here. Back in action. Moneyline. Yeah. Back in where we're supposed to be. It's Donnie. It's Kevin. If you want to call in hour number two, it's easy. 844-843-6879. JP out here dipping his toes in the water in the NBA. And from the looks of it, the Nuggets Heat game should be good. But at the same time, there's a lot of question marks on who's actually going to line up on both teams. Now, in the morning, the Miami Heat were 2-point favorites. They're now getting 1.5. Tyler Hero announced he's going to be out for this game, but also waiting to see, like, Aaron Gordon, Jamal Murray, if they're going to play from a Nuggets perspective. So a lot still ready to go. Let me just check real quick here on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Okay, so we got some player props up here, and they're good across the board. JP said he's going with a player prop here in this game. Any thoughts, K-Dub, where he might be going with said player prop?
Little thrown off. Like, a quick complaint is yesterday everyone tweeting it's baseball season. When it's clearly basketball season. So that was just a quick thing from yesterday that bothered me when the NFL game did end there. But, you know, we've got so much into football today. I feel like I haven't been able to kind of go through the board. But here's the other thing, Donnie. Like, JP goes off the beaten path all the time here, right? So,
yeah.
Like, your eye doesn't go to Jimmy Butler or Bam Adebayo. Contavious Caldwell-Pope props checking in? Does he have any numbers listed in this game tonight?
Yes, 10.5 is a points prop.
All right, that's what my guess is. He's on KCP. Maybe threes or something.
Let me see. So who's... Like, Jokic seems like an easy one. Now, it is a prop, so I don't think it's like a triple-double prop. Rebounds, assists, yeah.
What is his triple-double prop these days anyway?
Let's see here. Do we have a player? What are we under? Player combos?
I get, well, for the pure triple-double, right, if you're looking on FanDuel, it's usually like its own market on like the popular page.
Let me see. So we'll go popular. Score it. Oh, there we go. Record a triple-double. Jokic is plus 120. Jimmy Butler's 35-1, and Bam is 65-1. So not really too much of a price point there. To get a double-double for Jokic, minus 750.
Woo!
By the way, you know what I'm going to go with here? All right, JP, I'm going to go to the double-double market. I'm going to go Bam Adebayo minus 125. I mean, come on now. Bam is streaking with rebounds. If you have Tyler Hero out, somebody's got to counter something. I'll go with that. I'm going to go Bam double-double tonight, JP. Where are you going?
Yeah, Tyler Hero out, so I'm going Jimmy Butler points, rebounds, and assists over because I think he'll pick up the load.
Yeah, somebody's got to make up for the slack. There you go. It's back in.
KCP,
it's back in.
You're trolling with that.
No, I'm not. You're true. You've been Precious and Chew over there. Cut it out.
Okay, true. You're right.
Yeah, where is Precious at tonight?
The only person that even, like, I feel like is an all-star level guy that you consider is Jalen Brunson. Other than that, you know what I mean? Like, that's not your style, JP. So
now let me give you a prop bet in this game. Number of dunks.
Is that a
zero?
Thing?
Yes. Looks like it goes. Only the first quarter.
What?
And it's 3 minutes. Zero dunks in the first 3 minutes, minus 136. One dunk in the first 3 minutes, plus 106. Two dunks, 6-1. Three dunks in the first 3 minutes, 22-1. A dunk market.
Is this what happens now that like the NBA opens back up?
Exactly. You know what's funny? I'm going to tell you right now. If we were back on In Play Sports tonight, we would have been in on the dunk market. Like one dunk in the first 3 minutes. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, man. You're so crazy.
A three? What? Like, take it to the rim, pal. Like, how many times, how many times do you have, like, a Joel Embiid backing somebody down for 10 seconds at the play? Like, what are we doing here? Oh, great, a finished dunk. Great. You know what I mean? Now, Jexy, cashing in tickets on that.
Now that I think about it, right? So tonight, again, everyone's just kind of dealing with the fact that football's done. Like, you got to be going boost board crazy if you're these sports books to get them involved in the NBA tonight, right?
Like, hey, I know you guys are checking in to cash out your winnings. Yep. But let me run this one by you. 1-3 in the 1-3 in the first 3 minutes, plus 125. You know what I mean? Like, keep the 100. People coming back for more. Jeez.
Yeah, that's what. How many 3x2s? How many times? Bring them back. Plus 200. Let's get excited.
Exactly. The 3x2s, the double 3x2s, all of that good stuff here. But we do have a pretty good NBA market that we'll get to a little bit here in hour number two, but certainly putting the wraps here on the NFL season. Just watching some of the highlights rolling through. Mahomes seems like he's already – Mahomes is going to do one of those like Kobe Bryant's, like per jersey number. Like, he's already in the Hall – like, okay, he's in the Hall of Fame at 27. Can he put together another, like, till he's 32, next 5 years, another Hall of Fame career, and then end up his career with another Hall of Fame career? It feels like he has a chance to do that.
Yeah, that's – but here is the beauty of sports. If that game ends 35 – or, you know, 38-35 Eagles, the conversation is, man, is Mahomes ever going to get another one? You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of the way it circles. Like, man, like, why can't he win on this stage? So, yeah, he was spectacular in the football game, and – They really are. I don't know, again, I don't know where you land on dynasty talk, but 5 straight conference championships, 3 Super Bowl appearances, and 2 Super Bowl trophies.
And no end in sight.
Exactly. You can
project John Elway. Yeah, John Elway with the Denver Broncos, right? Gets his second Super Bowl championship, retires. Like, okay, it's great, but there wasn't any like, oh, next 5 years are going to be unbelievable. He was done. Mm-hmm. Mahomes ain't going anywhere. 27 years old. My goodness. But well, is what it is here. Hour number two is rolling along. If you want to get involved, give us a call. 844-843-6879.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Radio Network.
Back at it here. Hour number two. By the way, Super Bowl, Arizona, beautiful weather. I think they level up a little bit. You know, you go from L.A. to Arizona, and then you get to Vegas next year, which would be a party in unto itself. So
yeah,
who knows what that's going
to
bring, right?
Like, man. Sports betting situations in there. So, you know, I thought about something. Because, you know, there's rules you have to follow with athletes as it pertains to sports betting. And you're allowed to talk to them about fantasy football, but not sports betting.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not trying to... You should be able to talk to these players about fantasy football.
So like who? What are you talking about? Like, give me an idea.
Sure, yeah. Austin Eckler talks about fantasy football nonstop, right? So if you see Austin Eckler, you can be like, hey, man, you had a great year. You score touchdowns every game. You know, for guys that own you, kind of on fantasy teams, just... Yeah, you know, what does that mean to you? And that's a totally cool question, and they can kind of interact with that and all those things there. But it's a shame because it's really the same concept. I would love to, Austin, like, you ever get people like banging the, you know, kind of the Twitter mentions like, you're the GOAT, like, thanks for my anytime touchdown score bet? Or, I mean, look, it's probably a lot more the other direction, like, you just ruined my parlay because you didn't go for 150, you know, rushing plus receiving. But I actually would be interested to hear that. And it's just, you know, it's still a little too old school, the thought process that you can ask these guys about fantasy football.
Now, did you talk to him? Was that one of your interviews?
No, but I saw him out there.
Now, you had B. West and B. Dawg. Now, was there any talk about, like, who's going to win the game? Do they get a cover? Were they doing it? Because those guys aren't in the league anymore.
You know, I don't know why. Maybe it was a bad job out of me. But I didn't ask those guys as much about betting. I just kind of...
I think that's still an adjustment for me to even think that's how. But, you know, kind of what do you expect from the game? You try and ask them stuff like that. I did try to get Dawkins on the field, though. I was like, you're telling me I can't throw a helmet on you and you go down there for kickoff? Or you can just go find a body? He's like, no. I'm not going out there with these young guys. Donnie, you're telling me Brian Dawkins goes out there for kickoff. He's not finding a body, though?
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. What's the flag for? Helmet to helmet. What do you mean helmet to helmet? I mean, that's what I do. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean, come on now. Yeah, it was good to see some of those guys up there. By the way, did you see any other, like, Kansas City, like, Eagles older players out there? Like, did you notice any Chiefs guys, like maybe a Neil Smith or, Trent Green or just anybody? Dick Vermeil? I don't even know.
I did not recognize any old school Chiefs, and I don't know if that's because being an Eagle fan, being younger, none. Yeah. But Dawkins and Westbrook were there. Donovan McNabb walks through.
Yes.
Tremendous. Ron Jaworski was out there.
Yep.
Fantastic. Torrey Smith was out there again. Jason Avant was walking around. So it did feel like there was way more of an Eagles presence. And that carried over, by the way, sneaky thing with the game last night, Donnie. That was an Eagles crowd. The Boo Birds were out when the Chiefs were making their entrance.
Now, come on.
The Walter Payton thing's probably, come on, that's pretty funny. That's pretty funny. Are people upset about that?
Classless Eagles fans, when all I could do was laugh. Like, I'm watching, upstairs at that point, because before I had to get in the bunker. My wife was there, mother-in-law was there, and I'm saying to myself, I get in a laugh, like, is that them booing? And my mother-in-law's like, why would they do such a thing? I had to explain. I said, you understand, this carries over everything. Like, if this was a funeral, Dallas Cowboys fans or Eagles fans would have booed each other. Same thing with the Giants, right? Same thing with the pregame. Michael Strahan is up there. Jimmy Johnson is up there. Every time they came back from commercial, they got a laugh going, man, like, we're getting a real rough time here between breaks here at the chance that we're getting at us. That's what being a great fan is, having a great fan base here. Mm-hmm. Having said that, you want to get to the phone lines here?
Uh-oh.
Did I hear this right? Did I hear this right from JP? Could this be Mike Cardano?
No, it's not.
Of the Sports Grid Network. I mean, is this what we're getting here? What are we getting here?
All right, boys, we're gonna have this out. I'm gonna drive and listen, and you're gonna explain to me again one more time exactly how you came up with the suggestion that Jalen Hurts could have possibly been the game MVP. So go ahead, hit me.
Kev, go ahead. I mean, you go first.
To this fantastic phone call, that both Donnie and I said Mahomes deserved to win MVP. But besides that,
that's not what you said on the TV show this morning.
No, it is. I do think that you then just started texting us vigorously in the middle of the show and stopped listening. But Jalen Hurts accounted for what, Donnie? Almost 150 extra yards and had accounted for more touchdowns as well. You mentioned that the running game for the Eagles outside of Hurts was bad. I don't know how that possibly dings up Jalen Hurts. That only it makes it better. And it's about the standard that Mahomes plays to. Mahomes threw for under 200 passing yards. He was 110 yards under his prop. That was not your standard Patrick Mahomes game. There was a defensive touchdown for him. There was a punt return that put him on the 5-yard line. Again, he threw 3 touchdowns and was flawless in the second half. But Jalen Hurts, statistically, and again, I know you mentioned the second half, but the first half is a part of the game as well. Jalen Hurts was phenomenal in that football game outside of his fumble.
So how many turnovers were there in the game?
Just the one.
There was one turnover. Yeah, one turnover. Result.
Yeah.
The result was 7 points going the other way. Whose fault was that?
Isaac Samalu's.
Without that turnover, do they win the game? Do the Eagles win?
Well, here's the thing, though, Mike. They went up 10 after the turnover.
Yeah. And he couldn't hold the lead. He's the quarterback of the team. The quarterback, is it better to put up stats or win the game? He had a 10-point lead.
They scored 2 out of 3 drives in the second half. Well, I don't know if he's holding it up.
He scored 11 points in the second half of the game. You can't give the MVP to somebody who had a 10-point lead, gave it up, and lost the game, and is the quarterback of the team. Mahomes did what he needed to do to win the game. He didn't have to throw for 300 yards to win the game.
Mahomes was spectacular in the second half. There's no doubt about it. But the Eagles didn't lose that game because of Jalen Hurts. Their defense made zero plays.
They didn't lose it, but he was the only turnover, and it was basically a pick six.
Yeah, the turnover was a disaster. But again, they bounced back from the turnover. They didn't bounce back enough.
They lost.
But that wasn't from the offense. Let's just say you would have gave the Eagles the 85 Bears out there in the second half as opposed to their
defense.
The
field sucked, but they both had to play on it. You're talking about the yardage he passed for. They, now, clearly, the defensive back misplayed the ball on Brown. Brown was covered. The guy stops running or slips or whatever, and Brown makes a wonderful catch. But it wasn't like he threw a jump ball to the end zone.
No, it was a great play.
The defensive back stops running, right? He wasn't open.
Kelsey's first touchdown, Epps slipped, and, you know, the bad call at the end of the game, and that could have been another 75 yards on top.
It wasn't a bad call. He held, and nobody
Let's just say that doesn't happen, though. Let's say the Eagles come up with a stop, they kick a field goal. And Hurts goes down the field and throws for another 75 yards, but they miss the 22-yarder for the Eagles to tie it up. So Hurts would have 375 yards, one touchdown, ties a record for three rushing touchdowns. He would be in the conversation, absolutely, in a losing
game. Stats don't matter. You have to do what you need to do to win the game. He didn't win the game. And you guys, not once did you mention his blunder, which directly counted for points going
back. MC, though, I think you will be blown away if you go back and you watch this segment that you're upset about. Because I said the fumble is enough to ensure he didn't get it in a losing effort. I promise you.
Then you got smart between TV this morning and radio yesterday. Never once mentioned
the fumble. What's the tagline, Kate? Rip off the tagline right here.
Get smarter on Sports Grid, baby. It's smarter to be on Sports Grid, I think, is how the actual one goes.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's go! Hour number two rolling through right here on the grid. It's Moneyline. If you want to get involved in the show, easy to do, as you know. 844-843-6879. Red Tail is waiting on hold. He's getting in here. It's a Monday post-Super Bowl. Talk to us, Red Tail. What you got?
Man, Mike's the gift that keeps on giving, huh?
There you go.
Man? Anyway. Yeah, guys, honestly, as a 55-year-old Cleveland Browns fan who actually felt like I got kicked in the groin after the fumble in the drive, I was honest to God thinking about you guys last night.
Yeah.
And how that sucks. I mean, it really does suck. Well, one quick question, man, I'll call you Donnie Baseball here a second, but, man, all the drug stuff that goes on in the MLB or the allegations of it, so what the hell did Mahomes get shot up with at halftime? I mean, I heard talking about he got retaped and all, I felt better. I mean, he was crying on the sideline in pain. I mean, what did they shoot him up with? And is that legal? I mean, seriously.
The interesting part about that is I don't really look towards the drug itself, Red Tail, but is Patrick Mahomes a little bit more of a showman that knows in the moment what's going on? I don't want to say he was faking the injury at all, but you're not going to re-injure your high ankle sprain and run around faster than you do in the regular season. Like, I question that a little bit.
Have you
ever seen Mahomes run faster than that in your life? What?
Exactly. But I'm just saying that, he could be a good soap opera actor then. I mean, I thought he was really close to tears there in the first half.
I believe it. I believe he was faking it. I do.
Okay. I don't know
about all that. I think it's probably more so the the halftime
adrenaline
worked, and no, it's not adrenaline. It's to some degree what. Listen, we know that there are, you know, certain things that they're able to, I think, take right at the break in order to get through, I believe. And I mean, that's what happened, right? I mean, my man was feeling no pain. That's what it was.
The people were asking, was he even injured, K-Dub? I mean, that's the question. Did he ever even have a high ankle sprain to begin with?
Oh, you know what it is,
people
Donnie,
are questioning out here.
This is the script, right? This is the script. The script was written. He had a, you know, we wanted to add a little drama, a little fake ankle injury there. I got you.
Exactly. So I think that's the way it played out on the opposite end. But again, Patrick Mahomes wins the MVP, 21 of 27, 182 in the air, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. But Pacheco, I thought, was a real game changer in that one. This kid has come on the scene and basically has taken out Clyde Edwards-Helaire and everybody else out of that backfield. As a late-round pick who runs absolutely like he's a 275-pound back when he's not. I thought he was really impressive. And the one thing I do want to say is, if you're going to be Kansas City and run 26 times, 6.1 yards per carry. Look, I know Mahomes factors into that with a 7.3, not really a running back. But look at the rest of the running back room. The running back room. Jerick McKinnon, 4 for 34. Isaiah Pacheco, 15 of 76. They were impressive. I didn't think they'd be able to run the ball up the middle like they were doing against the Philadelphia Eagles. That was very impressive by them, which I didn't see coming.
The Eagles' run defense, though, was seemingly the flaw for them throughout the season. I can't, like, they held Mahomes 180 passing yards. It's an odd game, DRS. It's an odd game. I'm sorry. Again, like, they had a touchdown on a drive that was from the defense. They had another touchdown drive that was 5 yards long.
Yes,
thanks
correct.
To a punt return, right? It was an abnormal football game there, all in all. And you know, it's what it is. They made. I think that's the kind of the biggest thing. And you know, MC just called in and he's, you know, whatever. He's giving us a tough time, but he's right. There's one turnover in the game. And his takeaway, obviously, is, well, then that's all Hurts' fault. My point is, the Eagles could not force any big plays to put things, to make things easier on themselves. You know, the closest they got was, what, Butker missing a field goal. That's not forcing anything, right? That's just kind of the way
it went.
Being
a little
lucky. You know, the Eagles could not force. The closest thing was, it looked like, oh, boy, like Mahomes just is injured again, right? But there was no big splash play. They didn't sack him. They didn't sack the guy.
No, they couldn't really do anything. And also, the Chiefs are credited with 2 sacks, but they didn't sack Jalen Hurts either. He basically ran out of bounds at the stick, and they called it a sack, which, again, it wasn't that true, like, hey, I'm going to beat my guy on the outside and take a 9-yard loss, and here we go. It never happened. Now, the one thing I do want to give the Chiefs credit for, which, again, would be a shot at Jonathan Gannon, You can't have 2 touchdowns, basically. Now, granted, it was two different defensive looks. But you can't get burnt on the first, like, oh, that's a great play design. They caught the Eagles doing something on tape that they saw, and they took advantage of it. And they did it again, both on, like, 3rd and goal, which was ridiculous. You can't have that happen. Come up with a stop sooner or later, you can win the games. They never could. And you never got the vibe. And even when the Eagles had the football, which is what we're talking about, there was a ton of points scored in this game. When each team got the ball, it was like, when the Eagles kicked the field goal to go up 6 points late in the 3rd quarter, I remember going upstairs getting something to drink, like, oh, the Chiefs are going to come right down and score a touchdown, so we're going to be losing, but at least we'll be in a 1-score game. Like, that was actually the vibe I had before they had to drive 75 yards.
Yeah, I know. Well, yeah, they didn't seem like they were going to get any stops. The only drive that started where I actually thought they were going to get a stop was when the game was tied, 35-35.
Yeah.
I just kept thinking about the Super Bowl win.
One break, one penalty, one dropped pass, a tipped ball. Somebody just gets a pass rush. You know what I mean? Because they did it at the end of the first half. The 3rd and 15, they forced Mahomes out of the pocket and, you know, tackled him into an incomplete pass where he ends up, you know, looks like re-injuring his ankle. That's what you were hoping, because in that high-leverage situation when everything changes, they didn't. They easily walked it right down the field.
There were no holding penalties on the Chiefs in the game, right?
No. Mm-mm.
You know, look, and I'm not trying to do a refs thing. I'm not. Maybe they just played that clean of a game, but that was something. You're right. That was another thing I was kind of waiting on there. Man, just get this. Make this team be in 2nd and 17, you know?
Yes. A bad pass, a tip, like anything, or like a wide receiver fell down, it turns into an interception. You were hoping for anything on both teams. Like, oh, I'm surprised I didn't get to actually see that, but this is what it is.
Yeah, it's such a tough thing to still try and talk through to some degree here, just as Eagles fans. But as we've been alluding to, this is a special, special group that sits on the other side of the field, and they've now kind of confirmed all of that. I don't know why they have to be down double digits, though, in all these huge games.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
It's kind of their MO, man.
No, it really is their MO. By the way, next year it is Vegas as the Super Bowl. Does it come back east after that? Where is it after that?
Oh, you got to
start coming back east.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Good question.
Back at the Atlantas and like the Tampas and the Miamis. Something? Oh, my. I mean, you got to be killed. Hold on now.
Yeah, give it a look. Give it a look. Let's load up the calendar here.
Super Bowl. What if we? Super Bowl venues, I guess? Or Super Bowl future?
Yeah, Super Bowl locations.
Okay, there we go.
Right?
Yeah. All right, let's see what we got here. So we'll go 23, 24, and beyond. All right, here we go. This year, obviously, State Farm Stadium, Glendale, Arizona, horrendous field, so that's out. Yeah. Next year, Allegiant Stadium, Las Vegas, sensational. Mm-hmm. Year after that, K-Dub, Caesars Superdome, New Orleans,
ooh,
which I think is still an hour behind us,
okay,
right? Central time zone, I'm going to assume, New Orleans?
That sounds right.
Super Bowl 2026. The NFL has not named a site for Super Bowl 60. NFL rumors are San Francisco and Levi's Stadium. I mean, come on now. What are we doing here?
Wow.
You know what? You know, here's what I'm going to do. I mean, every Super Bowl has to be in the state of Florida from here on out. How about that?
Yeah, moving forward. I mean, that's just stop the madness.
What are we doing here? Like, maybe as far up as Atlanta, but that's about it. Atlanta, Tampa Bay, Miami, and Jacksonville doesn't even get a site. They don't even get one. Maybe we'll have one in
What's that about?
Tiny town? Come on, man.
Stop it. Bears, now, a little respect to the Jacksonville Jaguars, friends of the show. Friends of the show, the Jags.
You know what? Reach out to your connections there with the Jaguars.
Sure.
I mean, let's get a stadium upgrade. Can we get a brand new stadium out there?
What do you want?
And by the way, how impressive would this be? Jacksonville Jaguars, you are looking live at All Elite Wrestling Stadium for Super Bowl 60.
Wow. I mean, you know what? I've always
said that. By the way, is that not allowed?
Ideas.
Like, why isn't like the WWE or something? Like, why hasn't that happened? You can't do that? Is that allowed?
So here's the. So did you see Mahomes walking around with the WWE title?
Yes, correct. Yeah, I did.
I need the Jaguars to win a Super Bowl.
Mm.
Because here's the thing, man. They send that title. Trevor Lawrence is throwing that thing in the trash and holding up a big, beautiful AEW belt for that parade. Now, that would be tremendous.
Now, what would happen here? Jacksonville Jaguars win it. They're handing a trophy around up there, and, you know, Terry Bradshaw's up there interviewing, and, you know, Kenny Omega's up there next to Shawn and Tony. Sure. I mean, is that a lifetime right there?
Yeah, it's great one of all time. It's the greatest thing that could ever possibly happen, right? The fellas get after it. I mean, that's what we really need. Like, the halftime show should be Chris Jericho singing Judas. I mean, you're telling me the crowd wouldn't be into it?
What do they do? Hand out little bats? Like, kind of like, here's your commemorative Super Bowl 60 bat, like that Jericho would hold? And would you say, like, Jaguars versus whoever on the label there at that point? I mean, that would be tremendous stuff here.
Absolutely.
By the way, I know you did the interview with Tony Khan.
Yeah.
I mean, see, like, I would have been asking questions like about his dad the whole time to him. Like, I mean,
why?
I mean, what? Yeah, like, how much money are we talking about here for your dad? Like, is there enough money that we can, you know what I mean? Like, I would have wanted to get a little financials. Like, I mean, is there any ability that you could bring Hogan in the wrestling? I mean, how much money are we talking about that we can use for booking these guys?
Now, what if, because I got to talk to him for only 10 minutes. What if I just talked for 9 of them with my ideas and just see how they would have landed for them?
Now, look, let me pitch you on something right here. Like, I would have loved to see the eyes, like, just darting towards you, like, what's this guy talking about here? We're going to be about Hogan, Kevin Nash, the NWO, and the AEW?
Great.
Woo! I mean, Tony, let me hear this. NWO, this new faction here in AEW. Hear me out on this.
Yeah.
What a business plan. We'll be right back. It's Monday night on a Monday.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back at it here, Moneyline on a Monday post-Super Bowl wrap-up here. You know, still a lot to go forward to, a lot to check out, still a lot to go over in that game. Horrible, horrible field conditions here. The NFL, again, And probably say, oh, that was a great job. What did you guys have to hold on to here at this point here? All right, Adam Schefter update here. Eagles right tackle Lane Johnson, who played through a torn abductor this postseason, will undergo surgery on it later this week per sources. Johnson delayed the surgery so he could play, and now will have appropriate time to be get it repaired and recover. By the way, this guy was supposed to go down for surgery with a torn, basically, groin. Mm-hmm. He wasn't even given up pressures, Kevin, in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just unbelievable, by the way.
Yeah, he's spectacular. And here's another thing. Again, you know, the Eagles kind of seem to test the brain power of football fans, as everyone kept complaining about the false start. They did a slow down side by side that he is moving as Kelce is snapping the ball. Correct. And there are people quote tweeting that going, man, he's been getting away with this all playoffs.
Yes.
Did you even watch the video? Like, did you even just watch the video? Yeah. What are you doing?
But the best part about it is the NFL knows what he does. The other team knows what he does. It would be very simple to be like, hey, if you're false starting like you're trying to do, I'm calling it right away. Oh, look, he did it again. I'm going to flat. Because it's not a false start at all. It's been broken down many times by offensive linemen on Twitter showing, like, he's basically playing quarterback now. Hut, hut, hike. As soon as I say hike, the ball is snapped. When I hear it, I'm anticipating and I'm getting after it. So it is an interesting, but my goodness, that guy is going to go have surgery. After absolutely, like, if it was a regular season where your team was going nowhere, he doesn't play again, gets surgery, shuts it down because obviously he can't play as well as somebody like that in that condition. The guy's going like 2 years without like a sack given up. He's been amazing. He really has.
Yeah, he's as important probably as anybody to this team, which is why the Eagles offseason is just going to be interesting, just to see who exactly is back, because there's so much of this roster that works and they've got the opportunity to replenish. Right? Jalen's still going to be on a light number next season, and you've got high draft choices there, so it's a big season for all of that. It really is.
It is. It'll be fun to watch it play through, and again, the NFL landscape certainly always changing, free agency, you know, combine coming up here as well as moving forward to the draft and OTAs and, you know, all that good stuff. Before you know it, like, we're going to be excited for the NBA playoffs, March Madness. That, like, the fast-forward button that gets hit to, like, April, and then you're basically right back in the mix of the draft, and you're feeling, you know, summer and nice weather. And, hey, by the way, look at this. Training camp starts in 2 weeks. And then we do the old countdown, K-Dub, right? It's like, hey, man, 42 days before the season and 36 days before college football. It's all going to be here, certainly, sooner than later at that point. And again, Super Bowl odds for next year at the FanDuel Sportsbook, the Kansas City Chiefs at a 6-1 price again. We'll see if they add anybody or have to restructure somebody. But usually when you're in the mix, you're going to keep plowing down. Let me ask you about one team here, to be honest. Because I know we're talking Super Bowl, Eagles, Chiefs, where they wind up. Are we dead with the Los Angeles Rams? Like, are we trying to say, like, they were really good, they won a Super Bowl, had unbelievably terrible injuries, a long season, which, again, you have to play more than anybody else. You have a target on your back. They sit at 30-1. Stafford's back. You know, offensive line will be much better. Cooper Kupp's back. Like, am I missing something here? Are they just an afterthought at this point now?
No, it's probably a mistake. It's probably a mistake to see them. Unless you think Stafford's done, right?
Yeah.
Then that's the number, and I guess that's what the number should be. Mm-hmm. But they've got Sean McVay, who, and let's forget the state of the NFL now, right? Let's just go to the conference. McVay's obviously one of the five best coaches in the conference. And if you believe in Stafford, he's one of the five best quarterbacks in the conference.
Yes.
Donald's not retired, to my knowledge. Jalen Ramsey's still on the roster. Cooper Kupp is going to be back and doing his thing. And maybe they lose a guy here, a guy there. But they have shown the propensity to retool and everything like that. So it's kind of one of those spots where I look at the Rams, you know, them being in front of the Detroit Lions, man. Like, are we sure about that? We're behind the Detroit Lions, rather, I should. Like, that feels like a leap to me. You know?
We're giving a lot of credence to some of these football teams. And again, that's where the odds market is. And you're always looking to buy a little bit sooner than later on that, which is why you are getting a lot of love for the Lions because they played well down the stretch. It's still the Lions, but granted, they can go out, have a nice draft. They can go out and sign a couple, you know, draft picks here. You never know what's going to happen. But I do think there are some movers and shakers out there. Jets 25-1. I think that's more of almost like a hedge, too, in the market where you know they're getting a quarterback. They're not going Zach Wilson next year. So they can't put it too high because they don't know if it's Aaron Rodgers yet or if it's going to be Jimmy Garoppolo, which is kind of crazy.
Let me do a quick test case here. It's in the moment, so your opinion obviously can change.
Mm-hmm.
The Jets with Rodgers, are they in front of Miami?
Yes.
Are they in front of Buffalo?
No.
The Jets with Lamar, are they in front of Buffalo?
Jets with Lamar. I don't think so, because I think the betting market's still going to love Buffalo next year.
Yeah, I agree with you across the board. I think with Lamar, it would be pretty close. I think they'd move pretty significantly with Rodgers as well. But I think the Jets 25-1. Doesn't it feel like a safe bet? You know, I want to say it feels like a safe bet that the Jets are going to get somebody, but I saw on a DraftKings market that had Vegas at like minus 350. To have Aaron Rodgers be their quarterback with Green Bay as the second choice. So one of those things where apparently he's going to go to Vegas, which I don't really understand.
I'll tell you right now, because, again, it's not going to work out in a championship for Aaron Rodgers. But if you're trying to knock Kansas City off the pedestal, this is your shot, NFL. You send Aaron Rodgers to Vegas because at least that is two competitive games as opposed to two butt whippings if you don't have an all-world quarterback. I would love to see that because you know who else that would propel? Like the Buffalo Bills. That plus 850, that would move increasingly higher. Because, again, it's not to say the Chiefs can't do it and they're not battle-tested and it's Patrick Mahomes, but there are no breaks. Like if you're anticipating the Vegas Raiders to be 500 next year with Aaron Rodgers, they're going to play everybody really tough anyway. And it might not equate to wins because how tough that division is. The Chargers are going to be good. Denver is not going to be a floor dweller again with five wins under Peyton if he can somewhat get anything out of Russell Wilson. That's tough for the Chiefs. Like, that division turns into an animal if Aaron Rodgers ends up there.
I couldn't agree more. What will happen is if Rodgers goes there, that division will live up to the expectations that they had this season. With Peyton there instead, and with Rodgers there instead, you'll be like, oh, wait a minute now. And to your point, it doesn't mean, all four teams are going to make it? No. And it doesn't even necessarily mean the Chiefs aren't going to win the division. It's that they're not 14-3. With a perfect record in the division, if I'm not mistaken, right? Three losses, Cincinnati, Colts, and Buffalo. So that's the difference. And that's a huge difference. Again, the Kansas City Chiefs, during this whole run, Donnie, if I'm not mistaken, have hosted all of these AFC championship games.
Yeah, that's what they do. Yeah. By the way, Chiefs, again, 6-1 to win it next year. Do you think this is interesting? Like, you take a look at the Eagles. Everybody wants the up-and-coming, like, shiny toy, right? So Sirianni now is that new it kid, obviously, because it looks like Steichen is going to go to Indianapolis and be the head coach. Then in Arizona, it's down to Gannon and Lou Anarumo, the defensive coordinator there for the Cincinnati Bengals. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up is the Chiefs just won another Super Bowl. The Chiefs run roughshod over everybody. Andy Reid is the head coach. We get it. Patrick Mahomes is the quarterback. We get that. You look at Eric Bieniemy, who doesn't call the plays, but it shouldn't even matter. Like, just by extension of Andy Reid and how much he win, and, you know, he's liked there, which should go a long way. But also, the other side of the field, you're talking about Jonathan Gannon, Eagles defensive coordinator, has been around for a hot minute. You're talking about Lou Anarumo, who's been around the league, but no rings. Steve Spagnuolo's got three rings for the Kansas City Chiefs. And they repeatedly every year go, okay, we're going to get you one or two good defensive linemen. Everybody that's going to stink back there. But make it happen because we need to spend our money on offense, right? Like, and look what he does. And Kevin, he's not even getting interviews anymore. Like, he went to a horrendous situation for the Rams. He got fired. It's like 1 year, maybe 2 years. And it's like he can't ever coach again. But every single year, he's the architect of Super Bowl winning defenses that are, quite frankly, underwhelming.
But the thing with Spags is he should be the normal. A guy like Spagnuolo who just finds a home and is this unbelievable defensive coordinator, but all these franchises know deep within themselves, you know what? It's not the right hire for us as a head coach, right? It should be the normal, like Vic Fangio now. He should be in Miami forever.
with McDaniel, yeah. or at least until he wants
like Monty
to be.
Kiffin back with the Bucks all those years, right? Like, hey, look,
yeah,
he's an Jim Johnson with the Philadelphia Eagles, like an older guy, an unbelievable defensive coordinator, but it's like, hey, you know what? Like, this is just what the head coach leaves me alone. I dominate out here. We win a lot of games. Why would I want to go to the Cleveland Browns back in the day and get blasted after a 1-15 season?
Yeah, I don't see Spags to me is not. It's funny though because he's never even brought up. To your point, like it's not kind of like, man, no one's even like looking at like talking about Spags kind of thing. The Bieniemy stuff though is. I mean, again, like
we've said this before, Kevin. There's way more that they don't tell us about that.
Correct.
And nobody wants to be the one to breach the subject. Nobody wants to get into it. That's the only reason why. Because as much as the NFL said, well, they don't get opportunities. This is an odd one where a guy is with a Hall of Fame organization right now, running roughshod over the NFL. You could, and again, guys in the past, you've got Doug Peterson, didn't even call plays. Get off to Philadelphia. Yeah. Matt Nagy, okay, great. Kafka, he's probably going to be a head coach within a year and a half. Bieniemy's been there like 10 years, not even getting a sniff. Like, we're talking about like quarterback coaches are getting head coaching jobs over Eric Bieniemy.
Yeah, it's gone too far, and I just, you know, the thing that doesn't really make any sense at this point with the Bieniemy thing. Is this now offensive coordinator look that he's getting here from these organizations? You're telling me the Commanders wouldn't be better off just firing Ron Rivera and making him their head coach?
Yes. It's a good point you bring up because I don't think Ron Rivera really brings anything to the table anymore. Case in point this year, I had no idea if his team was in or out of the playoffs. Fantastic stuff when you're getting a look-see at Carson Wentz and saying, there's no urgency this week because we can't even get knocked out of the playoffs. Let's see if he can get it together. Fantastic stuff. But you're right. Because it's turning into, and now again, it's like, you know what? If Bieniemy wants to go out there, the offensive coordinator position, he should be able to be like, hey, by the way, 15 teams will hire him on the spot. Because those coordinator jobs open up like 10 at a time every year. And now he's down to Washington and watching, hey, by the way, hold on. Like, we weren't saving it for him. Like, now we're going to interview the offensive coordinator for the Baltimore Ravens, who's slipping my mind right now. Who is it again?
Greg Roman.
Greg Roman now. It's not even like, hey, we waited because this is the guy we want, and we think we can pay him a decent amount of money and say, hey, you know what? If you're getting the shaft right now, man, put in this work with us. In 1 year, if you have a great offense, it'll be yours. You will be a head coach. They're not even doing that right now, which is insane at this point. We're like you said, hey, by the way, we can get Bieniemy as our offensive coordinator to run the show. And like, yeah, hold on. We want to get a couple looks at somebody else.
He's a bad interviewer. Man, we don't cut it out. What is he doing in these interviews? I mean, what is he telling everybody they stink?
Is he smoking cigarettes? Like, yeah. Hey, I want to be the highest paid coach in NFL history. What, coordinator? No, as a regular coach. Like, what is he telling people? I don't know, but we'll be back to close down the show on a Monday post-Super Bowl edition of Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Radio Network.
Final segment here, and we are back. Love it. Feels good. Get back into the swing of things. Get used to us again Monday through Friday right here, same time on the Sports Grid Network, SiriusXM Channel 159. Plays today, K-Dub. I got a couple of them here. And by the way, we started off talking a little college basketball in the morning, and I do think it's a legitimate look here for Hofstra in the afternoon. It's actually down to 9.5, which is good. They were 10.5 this morning. I think the under is in play at 134.5. -9.5, decent little shots here. But the NBA, I actually think legitimate. I have three plays here, Kevin. Ready for this? All props. Trae Young assist over 10.5. If you haven't been seeing Trae, I think the last like 3 or 4 games, I mean, off the charts, Kevin, like close to 20 assists. Like he's been absolutely ballistic. Wow. I'm going to ride that wave, 10.5, so he needs to get 11 tonight in a game that you should get some tempo in playing the Charlotte Hornets. 240 as a total means a lot of points, a lot of scoring. I think that works out.
Sure.
Two unders I'm taking. Tobias Harris under 14.5 points. I don't know what his deal is, Kevin, but he's got like 3 of his past 4 games like scoring like 5 points a game. I don't know what he's doing at this point now, but he's back. Now, this is going to be a tough one. Lakers-Blazers tonight, 238 total. Damian Lillard's points prop, 35.5. Now, you look at his numbers, and he blows it out of the water. He's going to be excited to play the Lakers, but I'm just doing it here, Kevin. Not on any handicap. I'm taking under 35 and a half that goes. If he gets 40, then he gets me. That's where I'm at. JP, let the people know now real quick, and then we'll get the K-Dubs action.
Yeah, I took over on Jimmy Butler's points, rebounds, and assists.
There you go. K-Dub.
Look, so this is the thing to me, and I think a lot of you listening to this know, I don't come on here and tell people to bet the Lakers super often because that would be bad.
Yeah.
I like they this new to a favorite. Roster. Yeah, Don. So I didn't even notice that this morning. They were 2.5. Yeah. I think they're the better basketball team. I think they are a much better basketball team post deadline, and I think there's going to be some early value out here until the books can fully adjust their numbers on them.
Back in the swing of things. Moneyline, it feels good to be back. Just wish it was a celebration Monday as opposed to an armchair quarterback Monday. But we're here for you. We're going to guide you into the next millennium of college basketball and NBA action. It's all here. Thanks for tuning in to the show for a Monday. We'll be back on a Tuesday. See ya.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Moto Casino.